thing. We're in Ephesians chapter 6. We read the first four verses. I'm especially interested in verse number 4. Verses 1 through 3 outline the responsibility that children have to their parents. One of the first verses that we taught Claire when she was old enough to begin memorizing Scripture was, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." By the way, it doesn't say obey your parents in the Lord when they are right. It says obey the Lord, but obey your parents in the Lord for this is right. Well, what if my parents are wrong? God will take care of that. It's just like me. Well, preacher, I just don't know if you're altogether right about everything. I can tell you I'm not right about everything. You let the Lord deal with me. He does, and He will. He will. But this responsibility that children have, these first three verses. But then in verse number 4, we have the responsibility of the parent. Now, when we read verse number 4, be careful about commentaries. I use them with profit. I believe in having them. They're useful, but they're not always right either. And over again, I saw this thought that this actually, though it refers to fathers, it's actually meant for parents in general. Well, here's my problem with that. The word father comes from the Greek word pater, P-A-T-E-R is how we would transliterate it. It's used 418 times. Of that 418 times, 417 of them, it's translated father. Only once is it translated parents, and that's in Hebrews. It is a masculine noun. Put all that together, I'm pretty comfortable saying that God meant to talk to fathers. Now, fathers, let me go ahead, and by the way, this is applicable for all parents, so ladies, don't think you can tune out, okay? You can use this too. This will be a help to you. But it is especially applicable to fathers, grandfathers, uncles, male figures in the lives of younger people. Now let me go ahead and give you a warning, a disclaimer, if you will. On Mother's Day, I tend to go pretty easy on the mothers. I have a soft spot in my heart for mothers. I have a mother, and she is the joy of my life. My wife is a mother. And she is even more so the joy of my life. What? Your wife's more of a joy than your mother? Yep, that's what happens when you get married. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. Oh, if we could only get that. You're going to be quiet on me this morning, aren't you? Anyway, I tend to treat ladies a little more genteelly. But men, I believe, I'm old school, y'all. I think that men should be able to speak as men, don't you? I know the term is overused, but man, I'm just so sick of snowflakeism. Men, we ought to be able to speak as men and be direct. When I went and lobbied on Capitol Hill, I appreciated that we were able to speak as men. And they spoke as men. Even some of the ladies spoke as men. And we got to the point, and we got down to the nitty-gritty of this thing. So men, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to speak to you as men. And if you can't stand the heat, stand it. I don't want you to get out of the kitchen. I want you to stay put. Because here's the thing. A lot of what we're seeing in America, and a lot of what we're seeing in our commonwealth, and a lot of what we're seeing in our churches, and a great deal of what we're seeing in our families, lay at the feet of fathers. Men, we have a responsibility. It is our responsibility to see that our children are instructed in the things of God. Over and again in Scripture, we see that it is the father who is endowed with this responsibility. For time's sake, I'm going to give you one passage. Joshua chapter 4, verse 4. You remember they're about to cross over the River Jordan. They're about to go and start the conquest of the promised land. And God gives them instructions. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel. out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? That's one of many examples in Scripture of the responsibility of instruction to children being on the shoulders of the father. I appreciate what I get to do week in and week out, but let's make one thing very clear. The instruction of your children in spiritual things is not my responsibility. It is not the Sunday school's responsibility. It is not Granite Christian Academy's responsibility. It is most certainly not the state's responsibility. The instruction of my children is my responsibility. And we're living in a culture in which fathers are not living up to that responsibility. Can I remind you, men, that it is us who will answer to God for our families? My wife will not stand before God and answer for the Davis family. She will stand before God and answer for those things that are personal to her, but she will not answer for the family. I will. May I remind you of what God taught us through Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, just a chapter back, when he talked about the role of men and women in a marriage? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself. Who is going to present my family before God? I am. It says Jesus will present the church to himself, but if we are a picture of Christ, then we will present our families before God, and we will answer for how we brought our families up. Now here's the question, and it's meant to be a tough one. And you better believe that questions like this that I have to study through and I have to work through to preach are rough on me. Here's the question. Am I failing as a dad? Well, Andy, we don't like to use words like fail. No, let me tell you something. Sometimes you pass and sometimes you fail. Sometimes you get it done and sometimes you don't. Right now, as I stand before you as a pastor, I am either passing as a pastor or I'm failing as a pastor. I'm either passing as a husband or I'm failing as a husband. I'm either passing as a preacher or I'm failing as a preacher. And I'm either passing as a dad or I'm failing as a dad. It's that simple. And I know that as we get into something like this, especially as we start talking about things that involve teenagers, the trend, the thinking is, well, Andy, your oldest is 8. Just wait till you get to, listen, I can't wait until my kids are teenagers to teach you this. So as long as I stay in the book and tell you what thus saith the Lord, I'll be just fine. You know? Bottom line is this is what the Bible says, not what I say. And so we're going to take this one verse, verse number 4, and we're going to break it down. We're going to deconstruct it. Verse number 4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Father, help me now as I preach this. I'm not all I should be as a father or a good knight as anything else, and I know that. You know that. Some days I'm keenly aware of how unworthy I am to do what I do. This is one of those days. God, best I know, I'm not disqualified to do what I do. But there's just some days that it's so obvious to me that there's so many people that could do it better than I could. But for whatever reason, you've given me this responsibility. And I don't want to let you down, and I don't want to let these folks down. So, Lord, if there's something I need to confess, if you'll reveal it to me, I will. Sometimes my attitude stinks. Sometimes I don't love you like I should. And Father, when it comes to this church, I've never tried to present myself as the perfect father, let alone the perfect pastor. We are all blind beggars, just sometimes you let me stumble across some bread. So help us today, would you? Would you speak to our hearts? Would you use this time to lift up Christ? For it's in His name we ask these things. Amen. Am I failing as a dad? Well, we're just going to use verse number 4, and let's start with the circumstance. What are we facing here? What are we looking at? It says in verse number 4 that fathers are not to provoke their children to wrath. What does that mean? Well, if you take everything that's going on in that phrase, and it is chock full of meaning, it basically comes down to this, that we are not to consistently incite our children to anger. Now, that does not mean we let them get away with stuff. It just means there's a right and a wrong way to pursue that. And sometimes fathers, if they're not careful, can consistently incite that child to anger or to wrath. And I think there's two experiences that are presented in that one phrase. First of all, there's the experience of the father. Maybe you've been here. My child is always angry. My child is always tending towards rebellion. My child is always pushing my buttons. My child is always lashing out. And I got to be honest with you. I don't understand why. I don't get it. And we find ourselves looking outward to find the answer when most of the time we should be looking inward. That's the experience of the father. But I think what we want to spend a little more time on is the experience of a child. What is going on inside a child when they have been provoked to anger? Well, when you break this down and you understand the meaning of the phrase, there's several things that are going on. First of all, there's an injured spirit. As a parent, it is my job to break my children's will. What do you mean by that? To get them to understand that I and their mother are the boss. And we will be so until they're no longer under our authority. You ever been to Walmart and seen that role reversed? Where it's obvious that the children are the boss? Do you ever want to help folks? But in doing so, we do not want to break their spirit. Their spirit is something that God can use for His glory, but their will needs to be broken. I remember one time in particular, Claire was about 2 or 3, somewhere in there, and Claire was rebelling over a situation. And I had her in my arms, and she just went, get away. And I would not loosen my grip until she relaxed. She had to understand that Dad wins. By the way, parents, you should win. We got an entire generation of kids that win everything. Don't get me started. Why do I say an injured spirit? Because there's a companion passage to this in Colossians 3:21, and it says this, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." And one of the most discouraging things for a child is when dad is not the father that he should be. Can I tell you anecdotally, I know this is so. I love my dad. My dad's in heaven. My dad was not the dad he should have been. And it was a constant source of discouragement. And it injured my spirit in ways it never should have. That's what a child is experiencing when fathers are provoking them to wrath. Let me tell you what else they're seeing. They're seeing an irrational standard. Can I just tell you? Here we go. My name's Andy. and I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. Now, you're supposed to say, hi, Andy. Thank you. We need to start having meetings. Because can I tell you something? I've, for most of my 44 years, with the exception of little bits and pieces here and there, I've been in what people call our movement. And can I just tell you, our movement has been chock full of some pretty irrational standards. Things that nobody could live up to. Nobody. It always interests me when we go to the right of Scripture and we add more than what God did. Be quiet. And that can happen in a smaller way in our homes when fathers lift up a standard for their children that there is no way they can possibly live up to it. It is doubly dangerous for me because I'm the pastor. And when you're the pastor, people expect your kids to be perfectly behaved. Let me just tell you right now, they're not going to be. And I refuse. Now, do we have standards in our home? We do. Do we have things that she can and can't do? We do. But I refuse to not let my child be a kid. Because you know what ends up happening with these irrational standards? Rules without relationship breed resentment and rebellion. And you can't hardly walk 50 feet in this town without running into somebody that came up under an unrealistic and an unreasonable standard, an irrational standard, that now they have just completely rebelled. It's quiet this morning. Hey, dads, don't you put a standard on your kids that you can't live up to. Oh, I'm not saying don't put standards in their lives. I'm not saying don't give them goals to live up to. We need to do that. But make sure they're not irrational, unrealistic expectations. If my son is in here, he's 1 year old. If my son is in here, every once in a while he's going to holler out. Because that's what babies do. To think otherwise would be unrealistic. And by the way, and I love you, and nobody's asked this of me, but I'm just putting this out there that maybe it'll help you. I'm not raising my kids to impress you. I'm raising my kids to impress God. And if God's pleased, I don't care what anybody else thinks. I really don't. Hey, dads, we need to watch out that we don't injure their spirit, that we don't place an irrational standard. How about this, an intemperate sentence? Not everything's a big deal, y'all. Not everything is a whooping offense. And this poor kid is looking at their dad and their spirit's been injured and they can't live up to this irrational standard and now the punishment doesn't fit. You know what I've tried to do as a dad? I've tried to operate with my children as God operates with me. And there are times that God chastens me. And there's times that I chasten them. There are times God is merciful. And I strive to be merciful with Him. And there are times that God is gracious. My daughter likes to get mail. I sent her a letter. In that letter I put $5. She didn't earn it. She didn't do anything to earn it. You know what I put in the letter? I wanted to give you something for no other reason than I love you. How many times has God put something into your life just because He loves you? I heard it said by somebody in this church once, I'm glad God's not as hard on me as some Christians are. Hey, dads, watch out, because that child may be facing an injured spirit, an irrational standard, an intemperate sentence. Oh, here's the worst one. An inconsistent sample. more than anything else, you know what my kids are going to look for in me? Consistency. And if we are inconsistent, if we demand they act one way at church and one way at home and one way at school and one way on vacation, and they see us acting one way here and one way there and cussing here and not cussing there and listening to the wrong music here but not listening to the wrong music there, let me tell you something, they're as good as gone. Because kids are mighty good at sniffing out hypocrisy. And when they look to our fathers, they need to see a consistent sample. Can I just tell you something? Do as I say, not as I do. Never works. Never. So this is the circumstance we're facing. We're facing kids that have been provoked to wrath. They've had an injured spirit, an irrational standard, an intemperate sentence, an inconsistent sample. That's the circumstance. Now let's look at the contributors. You say, wait a second, all this is all in one verse? Yep. Dads, what are we doing that leads to this condition? Number one, we got a problem with development. Verse 4, it says, "You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." If we are told to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, that's what God expects of us, then would it not be reasonable to think that the opposite of that may be why we're not seeing it happen? So let's go opposite of what we see here. "You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but," here we go, "bring them." If we're not bringing them, then we've got a problem with development. What do I mean by that? The word "bring" is what part of speech? That's a verb, isn't it? Is that an action verb or a being verb? Action verb. It is something that you must do on purpose, isn't it? I have to remember each service to bring this with me. Many times I don't. But if I don't on purpose bring this with me, it is not going to magically appear, is it? No. I have to sneak out during the first song like I always do and go get it. Okay? We have this idea that our children are going to magically turn out like they're supposed to. May I remind you of what our factory setting is? That precious little baby is born sinful. My son just turned one. I love him with all my heart. John Asher Davis is a liar. I didn't teach him how to lie. His mama didn't teach him how to lie. His Nana taught him. No. He's born with a sin nature. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Well, all things, who can know it? We are all born with a sin nature. And when that sin nature is left to itself, it leads to death. In fact, you understand you start out dead, right? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. "And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." We start out spiritually dead, right? So we've got this idea that if we leave something dead to itself, that all of a sudden it's going to come alive. Does that work anywhere else? We had a cat pass away. Hallelujah. I've been waiting for that one to go. Found him that morning. I could have done one of two things. I could have said, "All right, let's go bury him." We did. Or I could have said, "No, honey, leave him there. He'll be back." No, he won't either. He won't be back. But we have this idea that a child who is born with a sin nature, dead and trespasses and sins, if they're left to themselves, they're going to grow spiritually. I got news for you. That's not how it works. We have to develop them. We have to purposely put forth effort to get them there. "Hey, Dad, if I haven't made you mad, here it comes." Dad, let me tell you why your kid's not developing spiritually. It's time to put the phone down. It's time to put the Xbox controller down. It's time to put the fishing rod down and pay attention to your kids. Because they need our development. It may also be a problem not just with development, it may be a problem with direction. Keep reading. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them what? Up. Some fathers, the problem isn't that they don't bring them, it's that they're not bringing them in the right direction. They're bringing them down. Or they're bringing them along. Well, I'm just trying to bring my kid along. Don't bring them along. Bring them up. Oh, they're developing their kids on purpose, but it's in the wrong direction. I am trying to direct my child upward. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. It amazes me. My wife and I were having a conversation about this just the other day. It amazes me how many parents are out there that the worst thought that they can imagine is their kid exceeding them in anything. They don't want their kid to be more spiritual. They don't want their kid to be more successful. They don't want their kid to be more victorious because then it's an indictment on them. Can I tell you something? I want my kids to exceed me in every way, shape, and form. I want them to be more spiritual. I want them to be more fervent. I want them to be richer. I want them to be more successful. I want them to be more influential. I want them to be better than Dad in every way imaginable. But the only way that's going to happen is if I train them up. It could be a problem with development. It could be a problem with direction. Number three, it could be a problem with discipline. Ooh. Remember, I told you, we don't want to be unreasonable, but that doesn't mean there shouldn't be any. The King James is strange sometimes. I'm a King James guy. Don't worry, we're not backing away from it. But English from 1611 to 2019 has changed quite a bit. Back in 1611, the word nurture did not mean, oh. It meant discipline. In 1611, it wasn't a good thing when Dad said, come on, it's time to nurture you. No, Dad, I don't want to be nurtured. I'm nurtured up, thanks. Thou hast nurtured me enough. Withhold thy hand of nurture. It's not just about what we associate with discipline. Discipline is much broader than that. Dads, we need to install boundaries. We need to install growth opportunities in our kids' lives. You know why? Because Proverbs 22 tells us that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. You leave that kid alone, kid's going to be foolish. Discipline is putting boundaries and opportunities for growth. Oh, listen to me. It is okay to have the gift of no. Sometimes I get this, and maybe you've gotten it too. Well, I feel like if I put boundaries in my kids' lives, that's just going to drive them farther away. I got news for you. If that's what drives them away, they were going away anyway. Now, they need to be reasonable boundaries, but I'm going to be the dad that every time Claire comes down the stairs for school, you wearing that? Mom said it was all right. Mom wasn't looking. I'm going to be that dad. I'm going to put boundaries in her life. What are you going to do when she makes eyes at her first boy? I'm going to squash it. I'm going to put boundaries in her life. What about when she wants her first phone? First of all, by the time that happens, they're going to have advanced so much, it'll be an implant in your head that you just answer the phone like this and but let me tell you, all things being equal, you know what she's going to get as her first phone? One of those old brown ones that you had to plug into the cigarette lighter. I know Baptists don't have cigarette lighters in their car, but it was a cigarette lighter, and you know it was. And she's going to have one of those that she can't hardly hold up. Or at the very least, she's going to have an old school flip phone. Oh, Andy, you're just talking foolishness. No, I'm not. I've seen the kind of damage smartphones can do to kids' minds. I'm going to put some boundaries. Because I want to put some discipline in her life. I want to put some discipline in my son's life. I want to give them growth opportunities. It's okay to let your kids fail. I don't ever want them to face disappointment. And that's how we got where we are. Sometimes the only way to learn something is to be a loser. Hey, dads, it could be a problem with development. It could be a problem with direction. It could be a problem with discipline. It could be a problem with doctrine. Doctrine, in its broadest sense, is teaching. And that's what admonition means. Teaching. Hey, dads, what are you actively teaching your kids? What we teach our kids is their doctrine. Now, I realize this is going to seem self-serving, but it's true nonetheless. When our kids come home and complain about the teacher, and we sit there and say, well, yeah, I know, they got some work to do. You know what you've just taught your kid? It's okay to speak against authority. When your kids hear you roasting me on Sunday afternoon, and yes, I know it happens because it happens in every church in America. I knew that when I took this job. It happens. I have spies everywhere. But when you do that, you're teaching your kids that it's okay to speak against authority. When, hey, dads, the way you treat mom, you're teaching those boys how they ought to treat their wives and their daughters. And you're teaching your daughter what she needs to expect from the boy that she ends up with. We are constantly teaching our kids. We are teaching them by our example. If you're lazy, kids are going to be lazy. If church is something that you do when you have time to do it, when nothing else is going on, your kids will never darken the door of the church. Because what one generation does in moderation, the next generation tends to do in excess. And if you teach them that the house of God is not a priority, if you teach them that reading your Bible is not a priority, if you teach them that prayer is not a priority, then your kids are going to have anything to do with it. We are teaching them their doctrine, dads. And it should not be an unusual thing for kids to see dad on his knees before his God. And if all he's doing is barking orders and do this and do that, and they never see you in the throne room of God, then you have taught them faulty doctrine. I know it is, brother. And anybody else thinks so, but I know it's good. And here's how I know it's good, because as I'm preparing this message, God's Holy Ghost is wearing me out. Boy, if my kids are provoked to wrath, it could be a problem with development. It could be a problem with direction. It could be a problem with discipline. It could be a problem with doctrine, or it could be a problem with my devotion. Back to verse 4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them, that's development, up, that's direction, in the nurture, that's discipline, and admonition, that's doctrine of the Lord. See, now here's where we run into a problem sometimes. Sometimes there are dads, and they're doing all of this. They're developing on purpose. They're trying to bring them up to a higher plane. They're installing boundaries and opportunities for growth. They're teaching lessons. But in all of this, they are not doing it with God in mind. All is vain if our object is not the Lord. All right, so let's take my kids for example. I'm going to bring them. I'm going to develop them on purpose. I'm going to try and make them better. I'm going to develop them up. Great. So, Asher, I'm going to help you be better at finances than I was. I'm going to help you be better at athletics than I was. I'm going to help you be better at this and better at that. Great! Discipline. I'm going to put boundaries in your life. By the way, there's parents out there that are not saved, that don't even know who God is, but they're good at putting boundaries in their kids' lives. Great. Then doctrine, they're teaching their kids. They're actively trying to instill wisdom and learning and knowledge in their kids. And that's great, but none of it is worth anything if we don't tell our kids all of this is so that we can please the Lord. I don't just want my kids to obey me and obey my wife. That's not what the verse says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Because can I tell you something? When I was growing up, there were times that my daddy wasn't worth obeying. And there were times that the only thing that I had to go back on was that if I do this, I am doing this for the Lord. Wives, you ever had a time that you had to submit to your husbands and he wasn't worth submitting to? My wife's been there. So why do you do it? As unto the Lord. And if the Lord's not in this thing, then all the rest of it's a waste of time. Now the question. So what? What am I supposed to take from this? Dads, we're the heads of our home in that, earthly speaking, God gives us leadership. Christ is the head ultimately, but you know what I mean. And this is a trickle-down thing. God never intended for our wives to be the spiritual leaders of our home. God intended that for us. You say, well, my kids are grown. They've moved out. I never had kids. Okay, but men, you still stand as an example to everybody else around here. And if we don't do what God's Word says we're to do, let me tell you what we do. We start injuring spirits. And we start enforcing irrational standards. And we start giving out intemperate sentences. And we start portraying an inconsistent sample. And it's because we're not sold on development and direction and discipline and doctrine and devotion. Now, here's the so what. Let's get out of this. As I prepared this message, I came to a very stark conclusion. In this regard, maybe not consistently, but in this regard, I am failing as a father. Maybe not consistently, but I'm not what I should be. And you understand, we only get one shot at this. Once my kids are gone, they're gone. There's no do-overs. I'll never forget the day my daughter received Christ as her Savior. I can't tell you the relief that came into my soul, because I know a lot of people my age, their kids don't want anything to do with it. They lose a lot of sleep over it. And almost without exception, you know what they tell me? It's my fault. Every day for my son, I pray that he'd be saved early. That he'd love God and serve him all his days. Just as I prayed for his sister. And then once they are saved, that we would be the example that we should be, and that we would bring our kids up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, because that's my responsibility. And if I fail in that responsibility, my kids could be lost. So my kids aren't in the picture anymore for whatever reason, okay? There's other kids around here that are looking at you, though. Those grandbabies are looking at you. Those nieces and nephews are looking at you. These kids that run around here are looking at you. What are we showing them? See, fellas, this isn't the lady's responsibility. It's ours. And if we want to see our families be what they should be, if we want to see this church be what it should be, if we want to see this community be what it should be, it will start when the men listen to the Holy Ghost of God and say, you're failing in this area. It's time to do what I've said to do. So it's too late. No, it's not too late. It's never too late to start doing right. Never too late to start doing right. And maybe God has spoken to your heart. Ladies, this message wasn't for you. I mean, you can apply the principles for sure. But let me tell you what He might do for you. He might burden your heart to pray for your husband. Pray for your father. Pray for the men in your life. Because I got news for you. The devil has got a target on them. When I was in Washington, D.C., for 2 days I walked. And I remarked to Brother Zacharias, I said, I understand why immorality is rampant in Washington, D.C. All of the staffers are young. And just about all of the ladies that I saw were provocatively dressed. And when you add that to power in places and positions and all of that, and you add late nights working in this place, you know what happens. You know what the devil's done? He has successfully downgraded the integrity of our men. It's happening in churches too. You want to hear a startling statistic? The best attended church service outside of Easter in a church is Mother's Day. You want to take a wild guess what the least attended one is? Father's Day. What does that say about the spiritual tenor of our men? Men, it's time to stand up. It's time to be the men that God's called us to be. Otherwise, we're failing. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please.